The Fan on Demand. Everything Blue Jays, everything baseball. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Baseball Central, I'm Jeff Sambit, in for Jeff Blair alongside Dirk Hayhurst on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, watching it on Sportsnet after the Toronto Blue Jays. As they get set for the Padres tonight, we'll have it for you on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. They lose last night in Atlanta, 11-3. And Dirk, another example, not that we're going to spend the entire show beating up on R.A. Dickey, but continue to scratch our heads seeing how you won the Cy Young Trophy.
What is that?
Norris Trophy is in hockey. Hockey Central at noon, coming hockey. Up at noon on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Yeah,
that old Native American pastime.
Hey, you're in Canada now. You better like hockey.
I don't know what it is. I thought it was a...
You better like hockey.
Tribal word.
No.
Hockey.
Well, it is around here.
Okay.
It is around here. So, coming off a Cy Young win last year, we're looking for this guy to be an ace, to be a losing streak stopper, that sort of thing. But again, we see last night a less than impressive start. He'd gone six innings, giving up 11 hits, six earned runs, including a home run, walking one, striking out two. It was the sixth inning more than anything that I look at, Dirk, where he gave up three runs there after the Blue Jays come back to tie and did so in that sixth inning, the top half of it, where he led off with a single, and then he came around to score. I mean, it happens a lot in baseball, but was he winded in that sixth inning?
I don't think so. I don't think a knuckleballer can really get winded.
Yeah.
Here's what I think happened.
Mm-hmm.
This young man, Mr. Dickey, pitches poorly against the Atlanta Braves and has for most of his career. He has a 1.8 whip when he's in Atlanta. He has an ERA of 5+ versus Atlanta anywhere he plays them. Atlanta hits him well.
Yeah.
And he goes down to Atlanta, and it's, you know, summer is starting to pick up now. And so you've got the humidity and the stick. And it's basically just this, it is a sweaty place to play. There's no way around that. And grip is very important to a knuckleballer, especially the harder you throw the knuckleball. So I think that the knuckleball becomes less effective in nasty, sloppy weather. Now, mm-hmm. I'm saying this, but if you look at some of the data, there's other places where he is pitched. For instance, when he faces the Marlins, it's hot and sticky there. It's Miami, for God's sakes. Philadelphia in the summertime, Washington in the summertime. I mean, these are places that are hot, humid, sweaty places. So I'm not going to blame it on that. I'm just going to say that historically, the Atlanta Braves have hit Dickey well, and they've hit him extremely well at home. And so I think, all things considered, it really wasn't that bad of an outing.
Yeah, he's 0-3 now at Turner Field, but we're looking to see any semblance of the guy from last year. Are you seeing any signs from him this year so far that he can be something close to the Cy Young winner of last year? Now, I'm not expecting him to repeat what he did last year.
I don't think – I said that the Blue Jays weren't going to make a play for Dickey. And when they did, I didn't think he was going to be a dominant pitcher. I thought he was going to be a guy that logged over 200 innings pitched and would always go out there and always keep you in the ball game, and that the Blue Jays would do what it looks like they had tried to do historically, which is rely on their offense. R.A. Dickey is the type of guy, and if you look at his numbers, even this year, it supports that. There has only been one game in which he's thrown less than five innings. In fact, there have been no games which he has thrown six. He pitched against Boston, was the only game where he went less than six innings. That's pretty remarkable,
mm-hmm.
honestly, for a guy in his age bracket going that long. And that's really what you want from a knuckleballer. You want a guy who's going to go out there and give you a low, hopefully he's going to eat up as many innings and return with as many zeros as possible. So far, the AL East has beat him up a bit. They haven't outrageously crushed him, but they have beat him up, okay? And he had a rough start. But he has kept the Blue Jays, or at least given the Blue Jays a chance to win. He has kept the bullpen out of it for the most part. When you factor in that, you're getting value is really what you're looking for Ari Dickey. I know the Cy Young, when you see that, you think this guy should dominate. But if you look around the league, there are a lot of guys who were dominant aces last year that are struggling this year. I think the whole ace thing is a bit overrated. There are only so many guys in this game, period. I mean, what? There's like maybe 30 total guys that are dominant every single year. The rest have one dominant year, one off year, a year, dominant year. You know, they fluctuate. When you look at a knuckleballer, you're going to have to understand that he's going to fluctuate. I'm not apologizing for Ari Dickey. I'm simply saying my expectations were not for him to come in and dominate this league. I expected him to come in and pitch better than he has to a 5-point ERA, but he's done, by and large, mostly of what I expected, which is to eat up a lot of innings and give the Jays a chance to win through their offense.
Well, and I was talking with Jeff Blair earlier on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and I was talking about R.A., and Jeff made a good point, and he talked about R.A. Dickey and the Toronto Blue Jays and the commitment the Blue Jays have made to R.A. Dickey, and saying, look, it's not as if they're on the hook for a long time with R.A. Dickey, and it's not as if they're paying this guy $20 million. I mean, he's signed through 2015 right now, so that's a good thing.
No, it's
not
thing.
As if they went out and invested everything and they got a lemon in return. And I'm not even saying that the guy's a lemon right now. I'm just saying he's not the guy he was last year.
No,
and not
but
even
he
close.
But there was a very good chance that he wasn't going to be.
Yeah.
He said it himself. He said, you know, I'm not going to go out there and try and repeat it. I can't. You know, it's anytime you perform in that level, there is a big degree of luck in your dominance. It just is in baseball when you perform in an incredibly high level of success. Luck is always a factor. And he did it for the Mets. Okay.
Right.
Which is, I mean, think about that. You know, like, so here is a guy who obviously had everything working for him. I mean, everything broke his way. And this year it's not so much, but it is exacerbated by the fact that the Blue Jays fan base thought he was going to be the guy who lifted the Blue Jays to the World Series as if they were a golden chalice. And it's not. He's just not. I mean, no player can really come in and save an organization. But you know, they did the behind the life of look at the big interview. His jersey was everywhere,
yeah.
And it was and he's in the front of all of the promos on television. When a guy gets that kind of hype and he's done nothing for a team yet, of course you're going to be outraged when he doesn't live up to standards. So I have to say, temper that. Because he hasn't done that bad. He's given the team a lot of chances to win. He hasn't went and struck out 14 or 15 yet.
Mm-hmm.
He may still. But even if he just continues what he's doing and he brings that ERA back down to below 5, he's still done a very good job in this league,
eating
up as many innings as he has.
And you talk about what R.A. Dickey was able to do last year and for the New York Mets. We in looking at the rotation earlier this morning, and, you know, bringing up the additions in Josh Johnson and Mark Burley out of Miami and R.A. Dickey out of the New York Mets. Would you give any credence to the thought that they're good pitchers with a backdrop of a couple of very bad teams that maybe they just look a little bit better because everybody else doesn't look that good?
Well, no, because you look at the numbers. I mean, really, you look at their numbers and you say, like, it's not like basketball. Like, LeBron James can look awesome because he plays for the Cavs. He's actually really awesome, but when you play for a team that's as bad as the Cavs, you carry that team.
Yeah.
In baseball, you can pitch for a team and really be the only chance the team has to win, but you're going to have all these metrics that translate for you that you would say that, well, you know, yeah, he was the best pitcher this team had, but you're looking at the rest of those pitchers. You're not saying that, oh, yeah, his numbers, because the team was so bad, his numbers benefited because of it. No, he still had to go out there and do his jobs. In fact, if anything, those great numbers look even better because there was no support or help there. But the numbers will tell the truth. And so when you look at Josh Johnson and you look at Mark Burley, who come into this organization from weaker leagues, they had track records of dominance, not or from weaker teams. They had track records of dominance. If you want to look at anything and say, the numbers lie or they might hide the truth. The only way you can really do that is if you look at a National League team, a pitcher for a National League team is going to have to face the pitcher. So there's some margin of error there where you could say it's not going to translate one-to-one because this guy has got the chance. His strikeouts might be inflated because he gets to face a pitcher most of the time. You know, there's going to be some the pinch hitter, stuff like that. There's little things that factor into that. But by and large, a weak team does not a better pitcher make. You know, if you're good, you're good. Yeah. And the Blue Jays thought, and rightly so, and quite honestly, Mark Burley is turned around very nicely. Josh Johnson would be the bigger disappointment for me this year than Ari Dickey by far because he hasn't performed. And when he hasn't performed well. So, you know, there's some concern that he's going to be injury prone for the rest of his career. There was concern about him before he got here, and here he is hurt again. That's a factor.
Yeah, and speaking of Josh Johnson, we're going to talk to Bob Stanley, the Buffalo Bisons pitching coach, ahead in about 10 minutes or so on here on Baseball Central. Is Josh Johnson making his final rehab start? At least that was the plan for the Toronto Blue Jays last night, going 4 2/3, giving up 8 hits, 6 earned runs, 3 walks, striking out 3 on 86 pitches. So we'll get Bob Stanley's perspective on what transpired last night with Josh Johnson. Dirk, if we may, I want to talk about J.P. Arencibia very, very briefly and a couple of incidents that happened. What? You're rolling right? What? Why? Well, I'm not going to.
Oh, come on.
Something. A couple of things happened last night that I'd like to ask you about.
Okay.
Now, this was all a joke and kidding, and I thought I had a good chuckle at it. But when I think it was the fifth inning or so, J.P. Arencibia came out to warm up R.A. Dickey as Henry Blanco was still getting ready to come out, and J.P. Arencibia did the sign of the cross before he went and caught R.A. Dickey as if he's about to get hurt. So I thought that was kind of funny. But what wasn't funny was a couple of innings later when J.P. Arencibia was actually in the game, he was crossed up with Brad Lincoln. And Buck Martinez, Pat Tabler last night on the broadcast, they were talking about how that just can't happen this far into the season. What do you think about that?
This far in the season, that can't happen.
Is Buck
big
Martinez
league pitchers
here?
Should know who they are.
J.P. Martinez is in studio all of a sudden.
Talk to Brad Lincoln.
look, it really is. It's inexcusable that it would happen at that point. But, again, these guys should know what they're throwing. You're still going to get crossed up from time to time if you miss the sign. You can make a mistake. That does happen. I don't blame that on J.P. Arencibia. There are some major flaws in the way he catches that I dislike. I've seen him just miss fastballs. I've seen him try to block them like they're curveballs. I've seen them make errors. He's a serviceable catcher. He's not a great defensive catcher.
Right.
But you cannot throw a crossed up signal on him. You know, there is a pitcher involved there. And so Brad Lincoln, you know, bases are loaded. You got a guy behind you. He goes back to follow the sign or whatever it is for the Blue Jays. And if you cross a guy up, you cross a guy up. I mean, that's just how it happens. You try not to do it. But I don't blame JP for that. I blame them both, really. You got to know your communication. And even so, accidents are going to happen. So it's not the end of the world to me that happened. And I don't think that's JP. Just another example of how he can't handle it from behind the plate. I just think that was an accident. And when you have accidents, costly ones like that, of course, you become the topic of roundtables.
Sure. And we're going to talk to a former catcher later this hour. A.J. Hinch is going to join us, who's the vice president and assistant GM of the San Diego Padres, given the Blue Jays are in San Diego tonight to take on the Padres. But as we continue this hour, Buffalo Bisons pitching coach Bob Stanley is going to join us. We'll talk about Josh Johnson's start last night. That's Dirk Hayhurst. I'm Jeff Sammet. In for Jeff Blair on Baseball Central. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on Sportsnet.
Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Baseball Central, Sportsnet 590, The Fan on Sportsnet. Alongside Dirk Hayhurst, in for Jeff Blair, I'm Jeff Sammet, and he's the pitching coach for the Buffalo Bisons. Bob Stanley joins us on Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. Now, Bob, Josh Johnson making his final rehab start for the Blue Jays last night. At least that was the plan, going 4 2/3, giving up 8 hits, 6 earned runs, 3 walks, striking out 3 on 86 pitches. What did you think of his performance?
Well, he was a little, he wasn't real sharp as he was the first time he pitched for us. He didn't locate, excuse me, the first 3 innings, but did get a lot better the last 2 innings. But I think the most important thing right there was to get his pitch count up so he'll be ready to go up there.
So the Blue Jays have, they kind of wanted Josh, against Josh's will, Josh wanted to come back and pitch in the big leagues, as of course all rehabbers do. The Blue Jays felt that he needed to tighten some stuff up and raise that pitch count. Do you feel from what you saw that his stuff is sufficiently tightened up to return?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, again, it was just a couple things that, like his slider, he had a hard time keeping it in the zone. And his fastball was there. It was 93, 94. So the velocity's there. It's just a little of the location, like I said before. But, you know, he can iron that out with the side work before his next start.
Yeah, it seems, though, that it's been a couple of starts now where location being a bit of a problem. A couple of starts ago, not spotting his fastball as well as he could. But like you said, I mean, it's something that you think that he can iron on or iron out beyond being with the Bisons and up with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, I don't see a problem at all. You know, I'll tell you, it's a hard thing. I always say it's easier pitching in the big leagues than the minor leagues because these kids in the minor leagues, they just come up swinging the bat. You know, you can't set them up or anything like that. It's really different. And the team we played yesterday, they could probably beat the San Diego Padres and the Miami Marlins.
Yeah, I played for Durham in AAA, and they always have a good team of prospects. So, you know, I called it yesterday. I said, Josh is probably going to go out there working on stuff to get back to the big leagues. And this team has got a lot of talent. It's going to come up there hacking.
Yep, exactly what he did. I mean, you know, sure he wants to not give up any runs, but he's getting prepared for the big leagues. And, you know, that's fine. And he just happened to prepare against a pretty good hitting team.
Well, there's a couple other guys on that Bisons team that are trying to prepare for the big leagues. Most notably, Dustin McGowan is trying to make it back to the show. Can you tell us about how Dustin's doing and what you've seen from him?
Looked real good last night. Ball was coming out of his hand really well. He topped out at 95, averaged 93 mile an hour fastball. His slider was good too. He threw one bad one, the first one, and after that, it was really good. In my opinion, he's ready to go.
Yeah, he threw
and he's bouncing back too. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, threw two innings last night, gave up a home run, his first of the season, struck out four. He's thrown six innings so far, giving up five hits and five runs with eight Ks and five walks so far this season. Have you seen enough out of him that you believe warrants a call up back to the Blue Jays if given the opportunity?
Yeah, I do. You know, the five runs he given up last night, he got left a fastball out over the plate that this guy that's he's been really hot, and he hit a home run off him. But the other four runs or five runs he's given up have not really been hard-hit balls. They've been C&I base hits and that. So he really hasn't been hit hard. Last night's ball was probably the hardest ball he's given up.
We're with Bob Stanley. He's the pitching coach for the Buffalo Bisons. Bob, I imagine that Ricky Romero has become a special project for you. He has been a major story here in Blue Jay land. And just how is he holding up? What is his day like? What are you guys working on? I don't know. Give me the whole package.
Yeah, he's we've become a good relationship with each other, and you know he's working hard at it. You know, I feel really bad for him. His last start, he really didn't get hit hard, but at the end, you know, he saw the results of what happened. And then he started walking a couple guys. He loses his concentration. But we've been working hard at that and trying to get him back, looking at old films and, you know, just trying to get him back to his old self. He's such a great kid, and he puts so much pressure on himself that, you know, he tries a little too hard, and then things happen. I mean, he's really been snaked at some of these games. It looks like last game he looked really bad, giving up eight runs, but he left. They didn't get one ball hard off him the whole game. You know, the only thing bad was the walks at the end. But that's just that he has to get through that. And we've been working at that, you know. We're working mentally and physically. And hopefully tomorrow it'll click. It's just got to click. And when it clicks, he'll be back to Ricky.
Yeah, I've pitching myself, we've heard the click analogy a lot. But one of the things we don't hear a lot about when we talk about working with a professional player is working on the mental aspect of that. And you said that you're working a lot mentally and physically. What does that mental work look like?
Well, you know, when things are going bad, you know, I talk about you know, he puts a lot of pressure on himself and, you know, to do well. And he always asks, have you ever had a bad year? I said, come on, everyone has a bad year. Try being 5-15 after blowing the World Series in 86. That really doesn't help too good either, you know. But no, that we just talk about that, situations like that, and, you know, how are you going to get through it if something, you know, something happens. And hopefully, you know, like I said, it's up to Ricky mentally to do it. And I can only say so much to him. But physically, he's a strong kid, great athlete. It's just, like I said, it's got to go, and I hope it happens soon.
Well, you know, Bob, I spoke with Ricky's high school coach, Scott Pearson, a couple of nights ago, and they still keep in touch, and he believes as well that Ricky's issues are mostly mental. And last time we saw Ricky here in Toronto, Bob, a mechanical change we saw was his shoulders not being hunched around his ears before his windup. He had more of a relaxed start to his windup. Have you implemented any mechanical changes to help him?
Well, when he worked in Florida, he didn't go over his head anymore. Now he wants to go back to over his head. So tomorrow he's going back over his head in his windup. From the stretch, I just spread him apart a little farther. The most important thing for Ricky to do is finish his pitches. A lot of time he stands up and he recoils. And most of that time happens when he gets in a little trouble. So I'm really stressing with him to finish his pitches. So hopefully he'll do that even when he gets in a little trouble. But, you know, if he doesn't bend his back and finish his pitches, then the balls are up and he loses the zone.
We're joined by Bob Stanley, the pitching coach for the Buffalo Bisons. Bob, has there been any consideration, considering that this is, you know, it's a mental thing, but it's one of those things that, you know, the tough thing about dealing with failure and overcoming it from the mental perspective is that you have to be in a situation to face it, which means you have to be on the cusp of failing a lot, which is tough because, I mean, there's just no there's no way to really practice it without actually being out there. So with that said, has there been some thought of possibly moving Ricky to the bullpen to run him out to the mound and get him in more situations where he can overcome that mental hurdle?
I haven't heard of that yet. I mean, right now we're just concentrating on his, you know, his start Saturday. After Saturday, see how he does, and then they'll make a decision. I don't really make that decision.
Sure.
You know, the Bisons, Bob, so fortunate to have you because you had a pitching career that saw you become an All-Star a couple of times with the Red Sox, and you had a winning record in your time there, and you had the experience that was the 86 World Series and the challenge of converting from a reliever to a starter. So much to draw from, both highs and lows. How much do you reflect back on your career when helping someone like Ricky Romero?
Well, I have talked to him about, you know, the ups and downs in my career. I mean, you know, I always tell him is, you know, you want to keep your image, but guess what? After 3 years, they don't care about your image anymore. No one does. You know, it's out the window. But I just talked to him about the things that, you know, the good and bad with me. I mean, you know, 1987, my kids and family couldn't even come to a game. They booed me sad. So, you know, I said, it happens to everybody, but you just deal with it. You laugh it off. I mean, I've laughed it off. And, you know, people talk about 86 World Series, and I go, so what? It's over. You know, you guys won in 2004. That's enough.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. Bob Stanley, a pitching coach for the Buffalo Bisons. Really appreciate your time this morning, sure. Bob. Thank you.
All right, good man. Watch out for my two boys, Wagner and Perez.
Oh, absolutely.
We will.
They've impressed already.
Yeah, they're doing well.
Yeah, they're good. They're going to help.
And they have already. Bob Stanley, thank you. Buffalo Bisons pitching coach here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on Sportsnet, it's Baseball Central. Hey, Dirk, injuries a problem not only with the Toronto Blue Jays but league-wide, and you spotted a couple of injuries that are comical to us, but I'm sure to those that are suffering from them, not so much.
Oh, it's not comical. It's just Carl Pavano ruptured his spleen. I mean, it's like one of those jokes. Like, I'm going to you know, your spleen. Like, how often do you hear that referenced right. in an injury?
Oh, like, a spleen injury.
My
yeah.
hamstring,
been
you know,
there, yeah.
like where you just, you know, you fall down after a bad swing and you grab your spleen, which I, where do you, well, anyways, Carl Pavano slipped in the ice and he yeah. fell down and he broke his spleen.
He slipped on ice? What's he doing on ice?
He was in the snow. You know, that white stuff that
sure.
populates Canada for
I don't remember. We
three quarters of the year. But
yeah,
yeah it's, yeah, you see, he ruptured his spleen.
That's too bad.
And he looks like he's going to be out for 2013.
Oh, man.
2013, the
That's
year
too
of the
bad.
Spleen.
Oh. Yeah.
And Pedro Alvarez, Pirates third baseman, he is day to day. And this is way less comical. So we go from the really comical to wisdom teeth. Have knocked him out. Yes.
He has to have his wisdom teeth.
Wisdom teeth extraction.
Yeah.
So Pedro Alvarez is out. Clay Buchholz has no pain in a bullpen session. He will be back to face the Yankees.
There you go.
If you want to talk about.
Is it Sunday, I think?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And Andy Pettit coming back.
And Andy Pettit will return as well.
Yeah.
So Andy Pettit's back. And you know what? You're going to have this with Andy Pettit. Clay Buchholz, he's a young guy.
Right.
You know, you worry. It could be serious.
Yeah.
But with an old guy, you're like, you rub some liniment on that or something, that old horse. You know, I mean, that's just, Andy's seen a lot of ball. In fact, he is the oldest starting pitcher in baseball. And
is he really?
Yeah, when he was out, Ramon Ortiz was the oldest starting pitcher in baseball.
Wow.
When he was up here. Yeah,
cool.
when Andy Pettit was out on the DL. So active, I mean, you know.
Active.
Active. So,
pitching, ready, healthy.
Yes.
Good to go.
Vibrant, youthful.
Yeah. Vibrant and youthful, but injured. Dodgers' Matt Kemp is out with a hamstring strain. That's a big loss for the Dodgers.
It is.
Not that things were going swimmingly for them to begin with.
They need all hands on deck.
Yeah.
They are just in shambles, those guys out there. And Don Mattingly is just on the hot seat like every day. It's become a thing now. There's a firing watch, fire Don Mattingly watch. It's around.
Really, that bad, huh?
And like Mike Socha. Not getting it any softer either. I mean, he's got a World Series ring, but they are still angry with him for not producing. And what can you say? You mean Albert Pujols and Josh Hamilton, who is also injured with back spasms,
mm-hmm.
Josh Hamilton back on the DL. Those guys not producing like they were billed to, and they're getting paid like a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could buy the Houston Astros and the Marlins for your children and let them for the amount of money those two guys are making. So, unfortunate to see that. Unfortunate for Mike Socha, but that is the way baseball goes sometimes.
You know the Angels could use Vernon Wells. They should go out and talk to the Yankees about Vernon Wells.
He's a great second baseman.
that might be some help. That they must be just cursing his name. Why now you're getting it? Now it's working out for you.
Yep.
Oh well. Vernon Wells is a good man. I'm glad it's working out for him.
He's a nice guy. Yep.
As we continue this hour, you know, the Blue Jays are going to be taking on the Padres tonight. We'll have it for you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You can watch it on Sportsnet as well. But A.J. Hinch is the vice president, assistant GM of the San Diego Padres, and he's going to join us as we continue Baseball Central. That's Dirk Hayhurst. I'm Jeff Sammet. In for Jeff Blair on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Sportsnet.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Baseball Central, I'm Jeff Sammet, in for Jeff Blair, alongside Dirk Hayhurst on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on Sportsnet. Going to be joined by A.J. Hinch of the San Diego Padres front office in a moment. But Dirk, a big story around Major League Baseball coming out of Kansas City with George Brett being hired as an interim hitting coach with the club. Boy, they need a lot of help.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're starting to sink. Yeah, the ship is sinking. Ned Yost has drawn a ton of fire.
Mm.
And really just for some of the choices he's made around his pitching staff, some of the ways he's defended his players. You know, when you make a call on a guy, the way you make that call, the argument that you use, says a lot about your baseball knowledge and what you think is important about your players. So Ned Yost is, well, I mean, the team is not doing so well, and so his comments are getting ripped apart, and his ability to manage is getting questioned.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that same recipe came to a head when Maloof, am I saying that right?
I think so.
Maloof?
I've heard Maloof.
Okay, we'll go with it. We'll roll with that.
We'll go with
the
Maloof.
Hitting coach.
Mm-hmm.
The hitting coach, folks, for the Kansas City Royals got the axe, and he essentially said before he got it, and the team is not hitting very well, and specifically they're not hitting home runs, and the coach went on to say, they're not that important. I'm not worried about them.
Well,
yeah.
You should be.
Yeah, right. And then he was asked, other teams are coming into Kauffman Stadium, and they seem to be able to hit the home run just fine.
Yeah.
Why aren't your guys?
Right.
Oh, well, you know, it's just a product of their swing for other parks, and it's just, you know, it's a product of who they are. Okay, well, why isn't the next question, obviously, the logical, why isn't it a product of who these guys on your team are? Why, right. I mean, you know, if it's a product of their swing playing dividends, what's wrong with these swings?
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, grumble, grumble. Don't worry about it. Not a big deal.
Yeah. Trying to throw cold water on
you're
it.
Fired.
Yeah.
You're fired. You're done. But that was it.
But George Brett coming in, have you ever been in a position, Dirk, where you've been on a club where you've had a coach that you were just in complete awe of? I mean, George Brett coming in without having to say a word is like, wow, it's George Brett. Have you ever had an experience like that?
You know, one of the things, actually, we'll ask our next guest when we get him on the line about Trevor Hoffman. I mean, he wasn't a coach at the time. He is now. He's a special, I guess it's like a special ambassador agent around. Yeah. I'll have to ask what his exact role is. I will.
Yeah.
But, you know, when he comes around and he says, hold your changeup this way, you're like, it could be the absolute wrong way for you specifically to hold a changeup, but you be damned if you're not going to hold it that way because it's Trevor Hoffman.
Sure.
You're going to do what you're told, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's,
yeah, you know, I've only got like a jillion saves in the big leagues. Hold your changeup this way. I mean, you could hold it like backhanded. I don't know. And you would do it because he says that. And I think that's dangerous, actually. I think big league coaches a lot of times get to the big leagues because of their pedigree. And if they are around enough prospects and those prospects do well, you become the beneficiary of those prospects and you get to the big leagues. That happens to a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. I am not specifically sure that the best players make the best coaches, though, because you have a tendency as a player to just do whatever they say without challenging it, forgetting that information, you need to absorb it and apply it to your own skill set. You just cannot duplicate a great player. And a lot of times the great players can't tell you why they were great. They didn't have to break it down. They just were great.
It's true. They had the God-given talent where they didn't have to maybe quite work as hard as anybody else.
Right.
So it just kind of came to them a little more naturally. And then sometimes you run the risk of, and I'm not saying this happens with everybody, sometimes you run the risk of them being so frustrated. It's like, why can't you do this? I picked it up.
Right.
Yeah, but you're George Brett.
And you know what really stinks is that you go into this world of cliches when you get these play. When you get big-time players like that, they will end up saying things to you like, well, you know, some people can do it and some people can't. What? What kind of BS is that? No, I'm here. I'm supposed to be able to do it. You cannot say some people can and some people can't as a coach just because you could. I mean, that argument, look, we're villainizing George Brett at this point. He could very well be an excellent
professor. We're using him as the latest example of what could happen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But he steps in, and these are really the best kind of guys to put into a situation like this. Because a guy going out, you're mad at him, you're critical, and then you get this new guy, and he's a ray of hope. He's for opportunity, and he can always say, well, I have to undo the damage the other guy did.
Mm-hmm.
But people will be like, yeah, but he's George Brett. He can do no wrong, you know? And then the offseason, you just shuffle the roster again, put the new coach in, and George Brett can do no wrong, but he might not be able to do too much right either. So, you know, you're at a neutral situation for somebody else. He just kind of keeps the nest warm.
Well, curious to see how the Royals are going to respond offensively with George Brett as their interim hitting coach. Well, the Blue Jays visit San Diego to take on the 24-29 Padres. Their vice president and assistant GM is A.J. Hinch, and he joins us now on Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. A.J., coming off a 7-1 home loss to the Mariners yesterday, running into King Felix is bad enough, but the pitching staff giving up a club tying 5 home runs at Petco Park, that must have been tough to watch as well.
Yeah, it's never it's never good when you have a kind of home run barrage in San Diego is unlikely, just given the ballpark we play in and the environment, the heavy air, and when the opponent does it, it's probably probably worse. So it was a day where I think they could have hit one home run, and with the way that King Felix was throwing, it probably didn't matter. But we, you know, we split the series with them, and we've been playing a lot better in recent weeks after a horrible start to the season at 5-15. So we'll take where we're at, given the way we started, but we can get a lot better.
Well, the Blue Jays can certainly relate to that, and they can definitely relate to getting beat up on by King Felix. Okay, Mariners out the door, whatever. I want to know, what is Trevor Hoffman doing these days? Old teammate of mine, what does he do? And two, is he still as shredded and in such great shape that he makes all the other players feel bad about themselves?
You know, it's funny. He's active in our organization, but also, you know, finding the right balance of enjoying the retirement that he earned. So he's been a helper in our organization, as an advisor, certainly, you know, links the past to the present, and he works, you know, kind of in many facets, shakes a lot of hands on the business side, you know, interacts with players, with our major league team, with our minor league affiliates. He'll go out who doesn't want their day touched by Trevor Hoffman? I mean, for those that don't know him, he's one of the most balanced and humble, you know, future Hall of Famers that you're ever going to find. So having him as a stable part of our operation, as an advisor and as a key figure that everyone knows here in San Diego, was a big part of the success of the previous Padre teams. We're proud to have him. He's got, as we joke with him, he's got great hair. He all of us that are retired, that look retired, he doesn't. And looks like he could go out there and close the ninth inning if we needed him to.
We might actually ask him to pitch for us at some point while we were there. The Blue Jays could use it. Can you still buy his jersey in the gift shop?
You know, I haven't been in the gift shop recently. I think you can probably find them. I think we try to keep it a little more current, but I would say his jersey ranks right up there with anybody's in our franchise history. He and Tony Gwynn, you know, who's at San Diego State, and around San Diego, comes to the ballpark every now and then. I mean, those are two icons. You know, Randy Jones, another retired number, works in some of our pregame show stuff. So we've been fortunate to, you know, over the last few years, really engage these guys to bring them back to the front and center on enjoying the past, but also being an active participant in helping to build the future, because this organization deserves a World Series run, and with their help, we can certainly be a little closer.
AJ, looking at the present, Jason Marquis on the hill for you guys tonight in 10 starts. Right. He's won six. He's already matched his win total of last year. In fact, he's won five of his last six starts. A nice, solid veteran presence in that rotation.
He's been good, and it's interesting, as he's evolved over his career, and I'm sure you guys have seen it with some of the Blue Jay pitchers or some of the veterans that you've signed, is he's changed the style in which he pitches. You know, he came up and was a power-type pitcher with the Braves, and really was hard fastball, hard slider, and then over the years, to stay as long as he has and to be as good as he's been, he's had to reinvent himself a little bit, so... He's a little more live on the edge. He's a little more sinker slider now. He's got the veteran savvy. He knows how to add and subtract. He knows how to, you know, when to kind of give into the hitter and say, hey, look, I'd rather walk you than give up the 3-run homer. You know, little intricacies of the game that make him who he is. And he's a winner. He loves to compete. He doesn't have perfect stuff. He's not a perfect pitcher. But with his experience, with his leadership, with his kind of feel for the game, he can impact our team.
We are on the line with Vice President and Assistant GM of the San Diego Padres, AJ Hinch. AJ, now I don't know if you know this or not, but I can officially speak for the Blue Jays in all trade matters. So you can go ahead and make a deal with me right now. It's totally okay. It will work. We are thinking about offering Mark Burley and Brett Laurie for Chase Headley. Deal or no deal? You get 10 seconds.
I'll go 2 seconds that Chase Headley is a Padre. You know, I'll joke you that we do love that Bautista guy you guys have.
Oh,
he's kind of an impact bat that looked good in the middle of an order.
Kind of,
so
yeah.
I'd like him to protect Headley. But what a story for Chase Headley, though. And I think he's one of those guys that's not very known throughout the league. I mean, maybe a little bit now that he's got a gold glove. He finished in the top, like, I guess, five in MVP, and, you know, switch hitting third baseman that's pretty much good at everything, and has been a Padre through and through. Was you know, and similar to some of the Blue Jays philosophies, I think over the last few years, of when you do see Brett Lowry come through, when you do have like these players that come, Aaron Sibbia, that they draft, they develop, you hear about them before they get here. Well, Chase was our guy long before I was here, as this guy you can't wait for, and this guy that is going to protect the future, and this guy that's really going to be the identity of the Padres. And he's kind of evolved into that, which from a management standpoint, it's always good because we sell these guys. We want them to be who they are. So when they do become stable parts of your core, it makes a lot of people from scouting to development to your fan base energized. And Chase, certainly the run that he went on last year after the trade deadline, and we didn't trade him, was spectacular. And now he finds himself, you know, in the middle of our core. And when you think of Padres, you start to think of Chase Headley.
Very quick answer, AJ, because time being the enemy here, but I know he doesn't want to talk contract extension throughout the year. Has that changed?
No. I mean, I think we're in constant communication with our guys. So it's, you know, we obviously do things behind the scenes that aren't publicized, but and we don't talk about that stuff publicly because it never really helps to get the big wave of momentum in front of everyone.
Vice President and Assistant GM San Diego Padres, AJ Hinch. Thank you, AJ. Appreciate it.
AJ, say hi to Chase and the boys for me. They're both characters in my books, and I love playing with them.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you.
There's AJ Hinch of the San Diego Padres. Blue Jays taking on the Padres tonight.
Should be good.
And earlier, Bob Stanley, Bison's pitching coach, talking to us, and Josh Johnson appears. He'll be back next week. And Dustin McGowan, he got a vote of confidence from Bob Stanley. So if the Blue Jays wish, they have Dustin McGowan to call on if they want to, maybe out of the bullpen.
They have a couple million reasons why they should get him back to the big league soon, too.
I would like to see that happen. That would be good. For Dirk Hayhurst, I'm Jeff Samba. Jeff Blair back in this seat Monday morning. Blue Jays, Padres tonight, 9:30. On Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and 10 o'clock to watch on Sportsnet. Red Sox, Yankees, by the way, 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 1. You know what? This has been Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on Sportsnet.